it's of course, we are going to go on the sovereignty of God. Next week, hopefully, we can start that, God willing. As you know, that a lot of things have been happening. But I would like to give a topical subject today, and that is running the race. Running the race. I think it's going to be very applicable, very good for each one of us to hear running this race. Since you are born until you die, it's a race that you run. You begin since you are born, and until you die, you run the race. Your race ends at the, where? At the grave. Think about it. That's where you are running to. Maybe you don't want to go to the grave, but that's where you are running. I'll tell you. The grave, what is the grave? The grave is the exit to heaven, or the exit to hell. So the grave is the exit to heaven or the exit to hell. That's where you are running. Now, for us to understand this, the main thing is we need to understand as Christians that we were lost. When we were lost, we were serving the enemy. We were in darkness. We got to serve somebody. You cannot serve God and the enemy, or God and mammon at the same time. We were serving the enemy without our knowledge. We were going according to the patterns of the world. Then when God brought us from darkness to the light of Christ, He wants us to serve Him. Not what we have done good things, but what God has done through Christ Jesus. If you turn with me to Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. The children of Israel, they were under the bondage of the enemy, Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is a type of Satan, and Egypt is a type of the world. We were under the bondage of Satan, and we were in the world. But God told Moses, verse 12, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Here it is. What God wants, the children of Israel, I'm going to bring you out of Egypt. I'm going to bring you from the power of Pharaoh. And when I bring you out from the darkness, from the power of Pharaoh, from Egypt, I'm going to bring you to me so that you can serve me and worship me. In the same way, we are brought from the power of Satan, from the power of Satan's darkness, and we are brought to God to serve Him for the rest of our lives. Most of our time we have spent for the world. That's why if you remember Psalm chapter 90 verse 12, the psalmist said, teach us to number our days. So since you are born until you die, we don't know how, when you were regenerated, probably 20 years after you were born. We don't know how long you had time to serve God. Maybe 10 years. Maybe 20 more years. We don't know. So we got a little time left to serve God. That's why the psalmist said, remember, teach us to number our days so we can serve God for the balanced days that we have provided. He has provided. Now, I just want to give you a little story here on running the race. This story, I believe everybody have heard this story. Remember the story of the tortoise and the hare, or tortoise and the rabbit, which way, how do you say it? Tortoise and the hare. Remember that story? And how they had an argument, and they want to settle the argument with a race. And remember how the hare ran so fast. And then he found out that the tortoise is way behind. And he thought, well, I can sit under this tree and relax and have a nap. And what happened, of course, we know how the tortoise eventually came gradually, slowly, and he found the hare was sleeping, and we know that the tortoise won the race. My brother, Sri Lanka Ranjit, he sent me a story on this, and he added more into this, so I saw this more in a scriptural way. And it is very important for us to remember that the hare lost the race. The reason was, the hare was very overconfident, careless, took things for granted. Now remember, as Christians, we are running a race. And how many people are living a careless life? How many people are so overconfident and say, I'm a Christian? How many people take things for granted? Right? And at the end, you can't win the race. You're a loser. Where God is concerned. You know, how many people think that they are okay? You know, remember the Pharisees, they thought they are okay. They were so overconfident. And here, especially in this country, there's so much worldliness here in this country, so much pleasure in this country, so much entertainment in this country, and we live a very careless lifestyle. Not glorifying God, again glorifying, giving time for the enemy. Glorifying the enemy. But, you know, we think that just because we go to church, we are worshiping God. It's not that going to church doesn't mean anything. Christianity is a lifestyle. It's not that you go and put a, you know, time, you take your, time card and show God, here I am today, and after that, I'm gone. It's a lifestyle. Christianity is a lifestyle. It's a daily lifestyle. And how many times we take things for granted, not really thanking God for the things that He has given. The only time people remember God for Thanksgiving Day is the time people, they gather together and then they look for the most religious person and say, okay, can you pray now? So and so. And people don't realize how God has given so many things for us. We don't deserve anything. He's given us a job, given us a vehicle to drive, given us a place to live, clothes, given us food to eat. Yet, do we deserve anything? But still we grumble. And we live a careless life. On the other side of the world, people don't have those things, what we have. People have, they're looking for one meal just to exist. They are looking for day by day where they can exist. And we are overfed. Too much food. Too much worldliness. Still, we are not satisfied. We need more and more and more, not content. God doesn't like that. God hates that. That's a sin. You lose the race. Now, let me tell you something. The hare was very disappointed of losing the race. And he did some serious thinking. And he realized he lost the race because he was so overconfident, right? He took things for granted. So, what the hare did was, the story doesn't stop there. He talked to the tortoise again and said, let's have another race. Tortoise agreed. But this time, the hare went all out and ran without stopping from start to finish. And this time, the hare won. And the tortoise lost. Now, what do we see here? What we see here is fast and consistency will beat the slow and the steady. The tortoise was slow and methodical, but he was slow. But the hare was fast and steady, So fast and steady is always better to be slow and steady. You got to be fast. And here, we got little time left. So if we have little time left, we better be fast. Not only fast, we better be steady. We cannot go slow, procrastinating things. How many times as Christians we do, how many times we procrastinate and think, well, not today, maybe I will postpone this. We don't have time to postpone. We got to do it right now. How many times we say, well, I got other things to do. Priority is God. Number one is God. So we got to be quick. We got to be fast. And we got to be consistent and we got to be reliable. It's so important. We got to be reliable as Christians. Turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 6, 1, 3. 6, 1, verse 1. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors in the gate, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together among the villagers in the plain of Ono, but they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them, saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? And here we see Nehemiah is building a wall. It's not finished yet, not completed yet. Still got things to do. But the enemy will come and tell you, hey, come down. You got to do this. This is very important too. You got to do that. Nehemiah said, I came here to do a great work for God and I have no time to come down. Until I finish, I'm going to do the work for God. That's the mentality that we should have. I'll tell you, how many times you begin to really get into a serious study of the Word of God, you say, this time I'm going to make a commitment, I'm going to get into the Word of God and I'm going to study. I tell you, the enemy will come and give you other kind of work to do. And that kind of work also seems to be important to you. Got to say, I'm doing a great work for God. I cannot come down. That's the mentality we should have. That we need to be fast and reliable. And the time is running out. Now let me tell you. The thought is this time, the race is not finished yet. The Tories did some serious thinking this time and realized that there's no way he can beat the hare unless he really thinks something very deeply. So he thought very deeply and he kind of he told the hare, why won't we have the race in a different route? And the hare agreed, because the hare was so confident he can beat the Tories. So they start off the race. And so the hare took off very fast and ran at real high speed until the hare came to a huge river. The finishing line was a couple of miles after that river. Hare came, he saw a river. But the finishing line was he got to cross the river and a couple of miles after the river. So the hare sat there wondering what to do. Meantime, the tortoise came slowly but gradually, got into the river, swam to the opposite bank, continued to the finishing line. And the tortoise won the race. What do we learn here today? Here, the thing that we need to understand is the hare did not identify the situation and the enemy. He did not know the playing field here. He didn't think about it. He just said, agrees. In the same way, as Christians, we need to really know who our enemy is. We need to know our playing field. We have an enemy, and the enemy has a playing field. It has a battle zone that we battle all the time. And as a Christian, we know that the enemy is like a roaring lion, always looking forward to devour somebody. At the same time, we know that our enemy put a lot of temptations. And he can come as an angel of light sometimes. Comes as a roaring lion, sometimes he can come as an angel of light. And also, we need to understand that the playing field is where is the playing field. When the enemy comes and put all the temptations, the playing field is the mind. It's the mind. Enemy always speaks to the mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Apostle Paul said, "But I feel that somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by the craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." It's the minds that the enemy will corrupt. God speaks to the heart, but the enemy speaks to the mind. And the mind is a place. When the enemy comes and speaks to somebody in the mind, then what do? We think. Some people have a conversation with the enemy. And some people want to compromise with the enemy. Here you go. There's a battle within our mind. And the enemy opens the door, so a lot of people may fall into the trap of the enemy. The hair just agreed, but the tortoise has strategy. As Christians, we need to have strategy, because if we are in a battlefield, we have an enemy that always fighting. We need to have a strategy to fight the enemy. Right? Going to Afghanistan. You know, the war in Afghanistan, the Taliban, they defeated the Russians. They defeated the British. But the Americans had a strategy. In the same way, when you go against on a war, and we have a war against the enemy, every day a battle, and we need to have a strategy. What is the strategy? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. "Do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." So we need to have that the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the feet of peace, and the shield of faith, and the sword. We need to have all those things with us when we battle against the enemy. And totally trusting in God. And, you know, instead of just, here just took it for granted. In the same way, Christians, they just take things for granted. We need to test the word of God if somebody is telling the truth or not, right? Like the Bereans, Acts chapter 17. And so we need to get into deeper Bible studies, good sound doctrine. So if you're in good sound doctrine, when somebody tells something, you know it's not right. Because you test everything from the word of God. You know, turn with me to Revelation chapter 2, verse 12. "And the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things says who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your works, where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name, and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. And here God is telling this church, I know your works. Hey, you got a lot of programs in your church. And you don't deny Satan. You got all these kind of programs going on, you know, this program, that program, this program, and you guys are really busy in the church. Most of the churches today, they have all kinds of programs and everything going on. So busy. But verse 14 says, I have few things against you because you have there those who hold the doctrines of Balaam, taught Balaam to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, eating sacrifice to idols and to commit sexual immorality. Thus, also you have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. Hey, if you don't have good sound doctrine in your church, what good is it with all the programs going on? Amen. If you don't have true sound doctrine in the church, true gospel, true sound doctrine, and the good solid theology, what good is it? You can be so busy in the church and lose the rest. That's why it's so important. God, Jesus says, repent. He says, repent. Or else I'll come to you quickly and will fight against with the sword of my mouth. So here is so important that we need to have strategy. We need to get into good, deep Bible studies. We need to know our enemy. These are all important things to win the race. Now, the story hasn't still ended. Now, this time, the hare and the tortoise, they became pretty good friends. And they did some thinking together. Both realized that the last race could have been much better. So they decided to do the last race again. But to run, this time they are going to run the race as a team. They started off, and this time the hare carried the tortoise till the riverbank. There the tortoise took over and swam across the hare on his back. And on the opposite bank, the hare again carried the tortoise, and they reached the finishing line together. They both felt a greater sense of satisfaction than they felt earlier, because I'll tell you, the teamwork is the most important thing in the church, that we work together as a team. You don't run the race alone by yourself. We should work as a team together. That's why fellowship is so, so important as a team. I always like this illustration. When you're cooking something on a barbecue, and if the coal is all together, they are red hot, but you take one coal away and leave it, that coal becomes cold while the others are red hot. It got to be together to be red hot for God. And here, good leadership, good teamwork is very important. If you go back to Nehemiah chapter 4 again, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1. But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before the brethren and the army of Samaria, saying, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish stones that are burnt? I'll tell you, when you become a Christian, your lifestyle is going to change. Just like this guy was mocking the Jews when the Jews were serving God, your friends will come and mock you. Right? Because now you're different. You're a Christian. Now you're serving God. You're worshiping God. So if you're a true Christian serving God, the world will always mock you. That's what they did for Jesus. And if you're not being mocked, there's something wrong. Amen. You got to realize, am I a Christian? Nobody's mocking me. Maybe you're compromising with the world. Maybe you're going according to the pattern of the world. That's why they are not mocking you. Jesus said, if you love the world, they will love to have you as. But if you hate the world, they will persecute you. Because they persecuted me first. So here, we see that they work as a team here. Now verse 3 says, now Nehemiah chapter 4, 3, now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, wherever they build, even if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. Hear, O God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their heads and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. So we built the wall. The entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. The people were together. They were together working as a team here. They had a mind to work. Our moving out is a good example of a teamwork. Right? So important. And also remember, there has to be submission to the leadership. Amen. Without submission to the leadership, you cannot go on set goals. Even if you go in a ship, that's leadership. Go in an aircraft, there's leadership. So in the church, God has put leadership in the church, and we need to submit to the leadership. Now if you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13 verse 7, Hebrews 13:7 says here, remember those who rule over you, who has spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow considering the outcome of their conduct. Then go to verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So it is so important, if you are hearing the word of God and if the leadership is teaching the true sound doctrine, you need to submit to their leadership. It is so vital and important. I'll tell you, Nehemiah was able to finish building the wall because they submitted to their leadership. They were all in one mind and together. But what happened to Moses? Moses was a great leader, very humble person. But remember, they did not want to submit to his leadership. Because people told Moses, remember, some people got jealous with Moses, and God brought leprosy. And because they say, how come this man, Moses, God is speaking to them, not to us? And remember how some of them grumbled against Moses and said, why have you brought us over here? We want to go back because we were eating leeks, onions, garlic, and all the greatest food. Here we are eating manna every day. They grumbled against Moses. And remember, they complained. But remember Joshua. Joshua was able to bring the children of Israel to the land of milk and honey because Joshua, he did not compromise. And remember Jesus. You know, Jesus, only the disciples, that's it. That's all he had. And how many people followed Jesus? Multitudes followed Jesus for the bread and for the miracles. But when he came back, when he rose from the dead, it was about 120 people that were praying, and he appeared only to 500 brethren. So probably there were 500 people that were left. No, it's not the multitude. But it was the disciples that submitted to Jesus Christ. They said, no matter what happens, even Peter, remember, denied Jesus, but by God's grace and mercy, God still had Peter because he was elected by God. Still, the disciples, they were full on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. They were committed to the Lord. It's the early church was committed to Jesus Christ. And they submitted to His leadership. And that's why the church was strong. And remember, today there are strange doctrines going on. All kinds of strange doctrines going on. Very good for the feelings, huh? Very good. Oh, that's nice. That's good. Everybody is doing that. Let us follow. But here, we need to remember that first thing is to know that if the people are preaching the right doctrine, if they're not, you know. So open rebuke is better than hidden love. So there got to be accountability. It's not going to be one leadership, one man, but there got to be a plurality of elders here. We need one another, because even the leadership is capable of sinning and falling. So that's why first thing is to pray and to submit and to run the race together. Teamwork is so important. Alright? Now, one thing on this race, what we see is they never gave up. The hare and the rabbit, they never gave up. In Christianity, you will fail. You will see your failures and you will fall, but you don't give up running the race. You don't give up running the race. The more you fall, the more you think, the more harder you will work for God. Because I'll tell you, in God's grace, there's repentance for the Christian. Isn't that great? Otherwise, where will we be? Where will us be? So there is repentance for the Christian. And the greatest thing is, now let me finish this, and if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 4. Apostle Paul said, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified." Paul said, running this race, the Christian race, there's a lot of discipline. Amen. I'll tell you, today the church lacks discipline. Jesus said, "Be my disciple." The word disciple comes from the word discipline. That means, are you disciplined to follow Christ? Jesus said, "Deny yourself, pick up the cross and follow it." Now that needs a lot of discipline. That means you need to discipline yourself to serve God, to commit to Christ, to trust in Christ, and to follow Christ, follow the Lord. You need to discipline yourself. The person who disciplines himself is going to win the race. Paul shows here how the worldly people discipline themselves to win the prize for the Olympics. Right? It's not easy. It's a lot of hard work. In the same way, we Christians, when we run that race, there's a lot of hard work that we need to discipline ourselves. What is your discipline? Are you waking up in the morning and praying? Early morning, having a time of prayer for the Lord. That's discipline. That takes discipline. You can say, "Well, I don't have time for that." Well, wake up. Set your alarm 30 minutes before it. And Do you have time to read the word, have to meditate, have to have fellowship with one another? Do you have time to serve God? In some way we can serve God, in witnessing or in the internet or, you know, doing something, booklets or audio tapes or all what you are doing, writing somebody a letter to a prisoner. Those are all, that is serving God. That is in running the race. Or many people, I'll tell you, they are running the race, not for God. They are running the race for the world. They don't even think about it. I'm running a race. Where is this race going to end? At the grave? Oh, I didn't realize that. Well, now you realize that. That's where you're going to end, all of us. We have a certain point. God has directed. We are running towards the grave. And a lot of people, as I told you, they are running the race for the world. The broad is the way. That's where they are running. But the end is death and hell. For the true Christian, our race is a narrow road. It's tough. And we all know it. It's difficult. But I'll tell you, we got to have a lot of discipline. Now remember, if you turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 verse 14. Philippians 3:14. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Wow. That's where his goal is. He is pressing. That means pressing towards a goal means you're always what? Energizing towards that goal. You're putting your mind, your heart into that goal. You're pressing it towards that goal. That's not an earthly call. That's an upward call. That's a heavenly call. And Paul says, therefore, let us as many are mature have this in mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. So, it's so important that we should run the race with one mind. With one mind in heaven, that is, in Christ. That is, you should have that Christ in mind. And without God, we cannot win the race. It's not us. It's God's grace. It's God's love. It's His mercy. It's all what He has done. So if He has done all this thing to us and we don't deserve anything, and here we are, then how much more we should love God? How much more we should adore Him? How much more we should give everything for what He has given? Huh? So He has given everything to you. Look at the unbelievers. They are living a worthless life. They think they have the money, they have the wealth, they have the luxuries, they have nice cars, nice houses, nice dresses, great food and everything. They are enjoying in this world. But where is that race going to end? In hell. But as Christians, they don't give glory to God. They don't give honor to God. They don't even know that they are running a race towards with the enemy. And as Christians, we are different, aren't we? We are different. Christian is a different person. And we run the race with a purpose. We have a goal. Do you have a goal in your life? What is your goal? What is your goal? Why are you alive today? Why? What's the purpose of life? It's to glorify God. That's it. What is the chief purpose of life? It's to glorify God. Are you glorifying God? How do you glorify God? You glorify God in worshiping and serving. That's how you glorify God. And if you are not glorifying God, you're glorifying the enemy. That's it. So I really encourage everybody, You remember the story that I told you today. Everybody have heard this story, right? There's more to the story. And remember the story. We are running a race, and we can win the race if we go according to what God has given us. All right? And we can win the race. We need to be not be slothful, not just overconfident, not taking things for granted. And we need to run the race, really getting into the Word. We need to have strategy. As Christians, we have little time, and we need to number our days, and we need to be strong in the Word. We need to know our enemy, and some people don't even believe there's a Satan. So we need to know our enemy. We know the need to know the battlefield. We need to know how he tempts us and everything. And then we need to work as a team, fellowship together, and run the race together as a team. And so these are all very important things that we need to remember. And above all, we need to remember that we need to discipline ourselves. Discipline ourselves. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for this time. Oh, Father, how we love you, Lord, for the great things that you have provided, Lord. How we thank you for the cross, your Son, Jesus Christ, who had given us, not only you gave us life, Lord, but when we were lost, how you brought us, redeemed us from the precious blood of Christ, how he took all the works that we couldn't do, and how Jesus satisfied the Father when we couldn't satisfy you, Lord. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the works of Christ. And, Lord, we pray and ask, Lord, that you would grant us faith, and that we would be able to serve you, and that with all diligence, with all the strength that you have given us, as you said, serve, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and strength. Oh, Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that we will be able to serve you. Even if you are in a garage like this, we pray, Lord, that still we will be able to serve you, Lord. And also we ask, Lord, a favor that you would provide us a place, public place, Lord, that we can go forward and do greater things for your kingdom, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you would provide us favor, Lord. Provide your, please have mercy upon us, Lord. We don't deserve it, Lord. But we ask, Lord, that as we cry before you, Lord, just like Nehemiah came and cried before you, mourned before you, Lord, that you provided the way for Nehemiah to go and build that wall. I know we will come across a lot of enemies, but Lord, we pray and ask, Lord, that we would work as a team, Lord, together in unity, that we would be able to conquer the enemy and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, let's...